truly it was an exciting time. There were 7 work projects that you'll just see a couple slides of. There were originally supposed to be 8 work projects, and then each of the work projects have a contractor, a licensed contractor on site, and one of the contractors had to stay back for his grandmother was on the verge of dying. And so they did do some work on there, but we're not able to fully do the project. Also, conducted a mega sports camp, about 140 kids one day. I know they had 120 kids in one day, and so they're about 140 kids all together. The mega sports camp consisted of basketball, soccer, wrestling, baseball, cheerleading, where kids could come and sign up for a sport that they wanted to learn some different skills about, learn some skills, and then also they had a traditional VBS program, story time, and so forth. There was also a mattress distribution. Sealy, a mattress company, donated a truckload of mattresses. I think there were around 55 mattresses, and so they spread them out to some different needs. There were also a sewing class that they publicized. There were 20 people, 10 in the morning and 10 in the afternoon, because you have sewing machines you have to reserve. You can't come and share those. So there were, I think, 20 altogether in that class. And as well as they're teaching them different sewing skills, it was kind of cute. One of the girls had made like a skirt. It was just funny. She had never done that before, and she made a skirt, and she was displaying it. It was cute. But they also, those teaching them would just talk of the Lord to them and kind of love on them, but they learned those skills. Also, there was a computer class. The head of the IT department from Carnegie Mellon University, he came and he conducted a basic computer class. And then on Thursday evening, had a community outreach picnic, and they estimated around 500 people from the community came for that. And they had a concert and music, and the gospel was presented there as well. So it was an exciting time with that. There were 7 individuals from Grace Bible went: myself, Becky, Holly, Millie, Warren and Jerry Morton, and Vicki Gaskell. So we went, and these are just some pictures from that, but it was an exciting time. As I mentioned, there were 125 people united in Christ and dedicated in service. It is amazing how you can get from 9 different states and 125 people focused and serve. And a lot of that comes from a mentor of mine, Jesse Boggs, who has just been a great discipler of me over the years, and just has impacted a lot of lives. And so he's very much a servant's heart. Jesse grew up in Clay County up until he was going into the 7th grade, and then his family moved down to Charleston. So this is his boyhood home and area. And Jesse played some sports there at Clay County High School. So the people know him. There's his last name is Boggs, and there's a Boggs Road named after it. And so he has a lot of family and connections in that area. But it was just people dedicated to serve. One of the things that Jesse does need is, for the last few years, has a quiet time diary or a journal that, starting a week before, everybody is literally on the same page every day, reading scripture, reflecting together, what does this mean? This year, Jesse asked me to design that quiet time diary, and so I put that together. And so there were quotes and reflections and scripture. And so then every day, usually, one of the speakers, or in the morning, we had a chaplain this year, he might refer back to something in your quiet time diary. So it was good that it kept everybody on the same page. Does that make sense? So we're all reading the same scripture together, reflecting together. But that was very, very positive. Literally, we kind of come in and take over Clay County High School. I keep telling people that, and they find it hard to believe. You just can't do that. You can't do that in a public school. My grandma Sprunger had an old saying, and I've lived and died by it almost. A can't died on the poor farm. Okay, you know the old county farm, the poor farm. Can't died on the poor farm. Okay, so when I was a little kid, and I'd say, I can't. She'd say, can't died on the poor farm. Okay, so don't ever say you can't. And Clay County High School, it has a neat history, and I'll share with a little bit Melinda Isaacs, the current principal. She's been there 4 years. Clay County, as a county, is the poorest county in West Virginia. Okay, so it is the poorest of the poor, and yet they rank between 5th and 6th on their ACT scores, college entrance exams. And people are coming to the high school to find out, what are you doing? Scott Littweiler was in my office last week, and we were just kind of talking about some things. And so Scott, we were talking about summer, and I said, what'd you do, blah, blah, blah. And I told him, well, we went on this trip. And so I told him about Clay County High School, and he was shocked. He said, how can that be? it makes a difference in leadership. And Melinda Isaacs does a great job, and the school has a history, and I'll share a little bit of that in a moment. But the bottom picture is the home ec room, where literally we go in and kind of take over rooms. Warren and I slept in the band room on mattresses, and some bring cots, and so air mattresses, cots, you just push the desks back. They were practicing band every day, I think, but one or so. So we'd have to kind of rearrange stuff when they came back in for summer band practice. But we shower in the showers, the locker rooms for basketball, the guys and the girls, each in their own lockers. And so we kind of take over the high school. But I mentioned Melinda Isaacs, and I just want to recognize her. You can pray for her. She is a very strong Christian. And Jesse, I was talking just to Jesse Boggs a couple weeks ago, and he said, Melinda is really more or less pastoring that county. I mean, she just really is loving on families. They asked Melinda, as several groups have come to the high school, they said, how can you have such poor kids and yet they do so well? And she said, well, first of all, she said, you just love your kids. She said, you just love on them. Now, some people say, well, you know, a lot of people love. But she said, no, you just really love your kids. She said, you get to know them and you love them. And then she said, secondly, you set a standard and you call people to them. So you love them and you set the standard, and then you just call them to perform in that standard. And so she's done a great job just impacting the community. And she's been there 4 years. But also one of the neat things on her desk in the history of Clay County High School, it'd be kind of like there is only one high school in the county. Like Jay County has one high school. Clay County only has one high school. This is the principal's Bible. And it sits on the principal's desk. And it has been since they founded the high school, since it became one high school in the county. And it has a list of the names of every principal. And it sits on Melinda's desk, and it always has. That's in a public high school. And they're not ashamed of it. And they very much are committed to God's word. Now, how that's lived out daily and every person born again. But this is on Melinda's desk, and her name's in it. And so I think that's very special. Several people have asked me about the food, and they're all worried about what do you eat and how do you feed all these people. Again, we more or less take over the school. The lady in the middle there is one of the school cooks, and she kind of oversees the cook. And the guy there in the black shirt, Becky, help me out. What? From the Breakers down in Florida, the Breakers Resort. He's one of their chefs down there, and so he was with us this year. So he kind of spoiled us. Down the bottom was a pot roast dinner that they had. It was my favorite meal. I think it's Becky's favorite meal. And so they feed us well. So we work hard, and I want to go there and lose weight, but I end up usually gaining every year. So they take good care of us and make desserts and feed us. But this year it cost $475 for the week. So missions endeavor for $475, and the majority of that goes towards the work projects, okay, roofing, plumbing, things like that. And so since lodging is provided and food, nobody makes any money, but they feed us well, they take care of it, and so they make every penny stretch on that. As I mentioned, the mega sports camp consists of wrestling, baseball, soccer, and cheerleading. And this year, the high school, they added wrestling for the first year this year. The high school wrestling coach and one of the graduates from a year or two ago came back for the younger kids. And so it was neat to see them catching a vision for reinvesting and spending their time. And so Millie helped out with the wrestling, okay? And you say, well, how does she teach the wrestling? But as they would teach the skill, about in the middle, they would break up and they would have their, what was it called, coaching time? Huddle time, okay? They would have a huddle time, and they would review the story and so forth that they learned earlier, okay? So they would learn some skills, break up, have a review time. They had a gospel ball of, you know, like the wordless book that they could review the gospel story with them. But it engages kids and is very successful. Then, as I mentioned, they have a story time. The guy in the bottom was a magician. He's a professional magician from Jesse Boggs' church in Pittsburgh, and so the kids enjoyed having him there. So it is a high-energy, entertaining time. as they do that. Becky and I worked on a work project. It's called the Friend Family. Okay, not Friend, but that was their last name, the Friend Family Project. Becky's taken the picture in this, and so she's not actually in that. The lady in the back in the gold shirt is one of the sisters, Nancy, and then the other lady is Vicky. Vicky is 65, 66, 63. She worked in Charleston at the university for a while, for 15 or so years, something like that. And then she was in an accident where a large picture fell off the wall and hit her head. But she was in serious condition, like a coma. And anyways, it's left her disabled. She came back and lived with her father, who was 89 or in his 80s. And he lived in the house here, which I'll show you. And he died 6 weeks before we got there. So in January, they start scoping out the projects. And one of the ways that they do that is through some of the bus drivers, okay? As they get to know the kids, they connect with the bus drivers and they ask for families that they know are needs. And so they network with them, and they actually use the school buses for VBS, and so they go and pick up kids. But they get to know the families different ways through different connections. So this gentleman literally built this house one room at a time out of scraps and pieces that he gathered over the years. So you'll see in just a moment, this house did not have any foundation. It was up on blocks. I'd never seen a house like that. You would think it's a normal house, and then you see under it, it's all on cement blocks. Vicky was living there with her father, taking care of him, and then he passed away 6 weeks before we got there. And so she's on disability, a very loving, very giving family with needs. This was the area project that I worked in. They had termite damage from a couple years ago, and so as it was blocked up on blocks, the boards, the 2x8s and so forth were all rotted out. And Becky looked at it and she says, I'm not sure how this house is still standing. I mean, if you can look at it there. And so we did what we could, and we took off some of those boards and replaced them, and it began a kind of a project, where do you stop? And right above that, there was a hole there in the wall where they just took some drywall. There had been an air conditioner at one time he'd put in, but then it quit working. So we replaced that, a window. There was another door area that we repaired, put some siding on this back. And so there were only a handful of us guys, but we worked pretty hard. Becky helped out in the bathroom area. She said as they were working in the bathroom, she could see us on the outside, okay? So there were some real needs of repair there, but she was kind of helping in this bathroom area. And then the roof was in desperate need of repair, and there were three major holes in there. Just with that, I think it rained every day, pretty close to every day we were there, but it always scattered around. One day it kind of poured right at noon for about 20 minutes, and so we took a longer lunch break. But we had this roofing project, and you just can't do that when it's raining. But God was very gracious. We prayed hard, and He was just gracious in answering prayer. So I think I've told a few of you, our contractor's name was Matt. And with Matt's brain and my nothing, we got a lot accomplished, okay? I can't do much of anything, but Matt would just say, do this, do this, do this. And I would say yes, and we got it down. So he was real good at delegating and explaining and directing. And so that was the area that worked on. These are the three sisters, Vicky, Nancy, and Bobby. And I thank you. We took them two boxes of food. All of the homes, the work projects, got food that we had donated, that you had donated. So every home got at least two bags of groceries. And then Melinda Isaacs knew of some other needs, and so she parceled out. She said, well, I know this family. We're not doing a project for them, but she said, I know they really need some food. So they delivered it to some different families there. Vicky and Nancy, and that we gave them a blanket that you ladies had done, and a quilt that was done here, and then the rest were distributed. And then also the tools were given out. And below is Nancy's daughter, Kelly, and she's holding one of the journals that you ladies made. And what's special about this is Kelly, that's Nancy's daughter, Kelly is deaf. And so she can't hear, and so she writes everything. They explained when she was a baby, just a newborn, she went through some medical problems that left her deaf and with brain damage. She's 33. She has a mentality of about a 12-year-old, but she writes everything. And so this journal, it just fit perfectly for her. So she has something to write more notes in, and so that's how she communicates with everybody. But I wanted to take a little time. We're going to take some time and just to ask. I've asked everybody to share, and we're going to watch just a video, and then they're going to come up. I've asked everybody that was on the team to go to share two things. First of all, just a special memory or blessing from this time, and then some way in which God challenged them during this. But I just want to show a video. We showed it one time as a prelude before the service. This was compiled from Tuesday. There were a couple people out of those 125 that their job was taking pictures and video and recording. That's one thing if I would do different. We would have taken more pictures. I look back, when you're busy working, I'm not busy taking pictures. So we didn't take as many as it like. I'd like to ask Alan, if you just pull that up, that video. So this is from Tuesday, the work projects of VBS that they compiled and put together.
I woke up this morning, saw a world full of trouble. Now I thought, how do we ever get so far down? And how's it ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven. I said, God, why don't you do something?
Trying to get that going. I played it right before we started, so I don't know. Maybe we can ask everybody to come up. Vicki, Warren, Jerry is in Nebraska with her mom, and so maybe you can all come up here if you want. Maybe you can sit down front, and we'll start from the oldest to the youngest. Is that okay? You owe me, Millie, okay? You owe me on this. So I've asked them to share two things. Just share one special memory about this time. Maybe it was interacting with a student or somebody there, and then one way in which God kind of stretched them or taught them a lesson. So Warren, would you kind of share a little bit? I didn't. Warren and Jerry worked with Melinda Isaacs, kind of shadowing them and helping her with some projects. Maybe you can update on that.
Okay, as Jeff said, Jerry and I, we got sent to the principal's office as soon as we got there. And it was our job to shadow Mrs. Isaacson. So that's what we did, whatever she asked us to do, why we did it. And the first day, what we did was take all the food stuff that you donated, and we had like 11 boxes that we distributed into. And as Jeff said, 7 of those went to the work sites. And then she had like 4 students that were helping her that week that were in need. And that. So they also received some of those foodstuffs. We then, just various things that we did, we one day we unpacked a bunch of just the calculators. And we said, well, that's nothing. Well, it's like at Christmas. You can't get the packages open very easily. And but then it's probably a couple hundred of those we opened, and then we had the label. And one day we cut out blackout papers for the doors, so when they have special lockdown activity, then the teachers take these papers that we cut out. It wasn't as heavy as cardboard, it was more like construction paper, and they put them in the windows of the doors so that any intruder would not be able to look into the classroom. And so we spent one whole day doing that. And then one day we cut out letters for a bulletin board, several bulletin boards, and then we did some other things in the office. We reorganized our professional library, and we also ran off a bunch of copies of documents and forms that every principal has. So it was a good time. It was a time which we could help her in any way that she needed help. What Jeff didn't say, I'll just mention it. She mentioned it to us one day. She's a cancer survivor, and her sister purchased a new Mustang for her after she survived. And so she drove to school. She had a white Mustang with a big pink stripe down it. The cancer survivor. And but as Pastor Jeff said, she was very, very concerned about her students, and you could tell that she had their best interest always in her heart. One of the other things we did, which was a blessing, that we got to go downtown one day and distribute flyers for their picnic, and you'd be amazed at how friendly those people are, and they're very easy to talk to, and so I enjoyed that. And then at the picnic, why, there was one guy that I was conversing with, and didn't think too much about it, and later he came back to me and he wanted to talk some more. And so we just had a little friendship develop there. Another blessing actually occurred before we even left, and that a gentleman from this church offered to mow my yard, take his mower from Burn to Bluffton, mow my yard for me. And then he later came back on that Sunday when we left just to see us off. And I was blessed by that, that he took the time to do that. As far as being challenged, I guess, challenge was just to keep my eyes open for opportunities to serve. And so it was just a blessing to see the men gather each morning before they go out. It's like, hi ho, we're off to work to go. And that's about the way it was. And they were excited to be there and to serve the Lord. Thank you.
Well, like Jeff said, we were on a work project, and my responsibilities, I didn't have like roofing or anything that I did. But I was the only woman that was on the site with the lady that we were at her house, so I was kind of there for her. It was brought up a lot of emotions with the sisters. It had been 6 weeks. so that morning it was Jesus and the multitude and how he showed compassion. So it was just another challenge that, you know, you just need to slow down. It's not all about the job and getting the work done, but the process and kind of listening to him and visiting with him and stuff. So that was something that challenged me. Another thing that was just super special is just to see everyone kind of working together for a goal. I'm not a very big speech person. But, yeah, so that kind of, I struggled with that a little bit. But it ended up being good. I ended up learning a lot about my kids. And it was just fun. And so I really had fun with that. And so that's pretty much it. I just really enjoyed it.
Thank you. And God's stretching them all in different ways. So if the video's working now, we'll try that. And this is just a encapsulating one day, Tuesday, in the life of ministry.
I woke up this morning, saw a world full of trouble. Now I thought, how do we ever get so far down? And how's it ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven. God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. Yeah. I created you. If not us, then who? If not me and you, right now. Well, it's time for us to do something.
Thursday, as I mentioned, there was a final picnic. They estimated about 500. That's the video. No, the PowerPoint. There was about 500 people estimated at the picnic. This year they had a special group in that did some music. They gave mule rides on a cart to entertain for the kids. It was a good time. But throughout the week, there were ended up the week there were 18 professions of faith, 17 younger kids, and then one teenager that actually was part of a group that came to serve. And on the last night, I didn't find out until after we actually got back here. He was just convicted that. You can talk about having a relationship with the Lord. You can even say you're serving Him and find out that you don't really have a personal relationship with Him. And so that was exciting. And so God used that. But it was a special time, and we trust that those seeds that were sown in many people's lives, that they will bear fruit, and that we will be about doing what Jesus did. And He went around doing good and proclaiming the kingdom of God. And so that's what we were doing. But thank you for being a part of that. I know some of you gave financially to help. Many of you gave food, tools. Many of you prayed. And so in a real way, all of us had a part. Some go and some here in support. And so thank you for doing your part. Just want to take just a minute or two. Any particular questions or things to clarify or things that you might add? And if the Lord leads us next year, we'll take it one year at a time. But if we go, yes, there is something for everybody to do, okay? So there's something that you can find to do someplace, somehow. It is amazing how just everybody pitches in and does different things. From this year, the dishwashing machine broke down. So they went to styrofoam plates, and that saved a lot there. But then any other dishes that had to be done by hand. So that added an interesting wrinkle. But everybody pitched in and was, I think, used of God. So thank you for your support. Thank you for everybody that went together to be a part of that. Let's stand and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this trip that was not about seeing some exotic place or just having a good time, but was about touching people that in some ways have been forgotten by others. And so, Father, I thank you for Melinda. Thank you for Jesse. Thank you for their vision to reach people that desperately need the gospel. And so thank you that we can do practical things, loving people where they hurt, and in the meantime, sharing the good news of Jesus with them. I do pray for Vicki and Nancy and Bobby and friend, family. Pray that the gospel would continue to penetrate their family. And so we ask your blessing upon us, this church, as we seek to reach people here